Hello, and welcome to this podcast from the Oxford Institute for Energy Studies.
Thank you for joining us in this, the latest edition of the OIS podcast series. My name is David Ledesma, and it's my great pleasure to be joined today by Philip Andrew Speed, who is a senior research fellow at the OIS and also senior principal fellow at the Energy Studies Institute of the National University of Singapore. Now, we're here today to discuss the energy insight, managing the social consequences of the transition away from coal, the case of clean heating in Shaanxi Province, China, that he co-authored with Yuqiao Xu, a graduate of Masters of International Affairs program at the Lee Kuan Yew School of Public Policy, National University of Singapore. And this was published by the OIS in September 2022. Now, just to timestamp this recording, in the ever-changing world we're in, we are recording the podcast on the morning of Tuesday, the 25th of October, 2022. Philip, welcome to the OIS podcast series.
Good to be with you, David.
Well, look, Philip, you know, before we start looking at China, can you please explain, you know, why the issue of heating is so important in the low-carbon energy transition?
Well, fossil fuels have long been the main source of winter heating across the world and currently provide about 65% of the energy for the world's winter heating. And this includes coal gas, natural gas, and oil. And of course, in many places, biomass is also used. Combustion of these fossil fuels for heating generates about 7% of the world's carbon dioxide emissions from commercial energy, as well as creating other forms of air pollution. So the low carbon energy transition requires these heating systems to be converted to low carbon sources of energy, such as electricity from renewable sources, heat pumps and other forms, as well as, of course, as improving insulation. Now, in countries with cold winters, it's the households that pose a particular challenge due to the sheer number of houses, their variability, and their often very poor insulation.
So, Philip, you know, how important an issue is this in China?
This is a particularly important issue in China because the northern regions suffer from long, cold winters, and coal has long been the fuel of choice for heating. Whilst the government has made great strides over the last 20 years to convert heating systems in cities from coal to gas, there are still millions of households, many in small towns and villages, and many of these have low incomes, and their winter heating is mainly coal and biomass. And of particular note is the issue that the coal is usually of low quality with high ash and sulfur contents and is known as loose coal. This not only produces greenhouse gases, lots of air pollution, and damages the health of those who live inside with these heating systems.
Okay, so what has the central government been doing to promote the switch away from coal in heating systems then?
Well, in 2017, the central government launched a major program to convert household heating systems to clean fuels, particularly these households in small towns and villages. However, what they defined as clean heating includes natural gas, electricity, geothermal, clean biomass, solar energy, industrial waste heat, and what they call clean coal, which is basically coal that has relatively low emissions. And the government provided billions of yuan to cities across northern China, initially for the period 2017-19, but that was then extended to 2021.
Okay, so therefore, you know, why did your paper focus particularly on Shaanxi Province?
Well, Shaanxi Province has long been the major supplier of coal in China. In 2020, for example, it produced about 1 billion tons of coal, which is 25% of the national output. So coal is everywhere. It's plentiful. It's cheap. And so it's been the favoured fuel for household heating and cooking. But as I said, farmers also use large quantities of biomass, mainly crop wastes.
I must say, when you say the number, a billion tons of coal, it just kind of rolls off the tongue, doesn't it, Philip? But, you know, it makes you realise just the sheer size of China when you start talking such large numbers. OK, but in China, of course, the provinces are key to the policy implementation. So now, what sort of policies did Shaanxi put in place to shift heating systems away from coal?
Well, the provincial government developed four discrete programmes. the combined heat and power program, but of course that requires a nearby industrial plant. Coal to gas, but of course that requires a nearby natural gas pipeline. Coal to electricity, that requires electricity cables, but most villages are electrified to a certain extent. And finally, clean coal and other environmentally friendly biomass stoves as a sort of last resort when the others cannot be done. But of course, then the provincial and sub-provincial governments had to plan, you know, what fuel conversion for each location, build the necessary infrastructure, if required, gas pipelines, power grids, but then arrange for the provision of the appliances to millions of households, provide subsidies towards the cost of the appliances and their installation, and also to provide subsidies to many households for the running costs, because all these fuels cost more than their original loose coal or biomass.
Okay, so how successful were these policies then?
Well, the numbers look pretty good. If we look at national level, between 2017 and 2019, the number of households in northern China using this loose coal fell from 24 million to about 10 million. And the total quantity of loose coal consumed each year fell from about 56 million tons to 23 million tons. So considerable improvements on reducing the use of coal for heating in those first 3 years. And then by the end of 2020, the statistics state that 19 million households in northern China had undergone conversion from coal to gas, and another 12 million from coal to electricity. So at national level, the numbers look good. Within Shanxi province itself, between 2017 and 2020, they converted about 5 million households, 2 million to industrial waste heat, 1.5 million coal to gas, coal to electricity, 800,000, and clean coal, about 600,000. So 5 million altogether in Shanxi in 4 years.
They are quite remarkable statistics, Philip, I have to say. But, you know, has it gone perfectly? Now, what challenges have these policies actually encountered?
Well, the first winter, 2017-18, was the start of this great central government push for rapid conversion from coal to gas. And the problems here even made the international press, because people were ripping out the old coal-based heating systems from households before the gas infrastructure and the gas supply was in place. So a lot of people didn't have any heating for some of that winter. And even if they did, they couldn't afford the gas. And so they went back to coal if they could reinstall it or biomass. But if we look at the sort of longer term over the whole period of the program in Shanxi province, the main problem related to cost. There was the cost of the households, of the appliances, and of the operating costs. And for many households, even with the subsidies, it was too expensive. So many households reverted to biomass or coal, or had to live with lower temperatures. For the city governments themselves, the funds from central government were insufficient to cover the costs of the subsidies and the infrastructure. Shanxi is a relatively poor province, and so they really struggled to deal with this financial issue. And so the province and the local cities, they would have gone into further debt. There were also a whole range of problems, as you can imagine, of planning and coordination, getting the right appliances and fuel supplies to all these different houses. Also, there does not seem to be much effort directed at insulation, because most of these rural houses are very thermally inefficient. So yeah, lots of problems despite the huge effort and quantities of money thrown at this program.
I have to say, I find the numbers just absolutely, you know, monstrously big. But and it's great to see the success, which is of course great for the world environment. But I always like to end a podcast with a kind of broader looking forward question. So what do you think the wider lessons are from China's experience for other countries?
Well, I think in two words, it's expensive and it's complex. It's expensive because most of these new heating, cleaner heating systems are expensive to install, and they may or may not be expensive to operate, depending on where you are. And the complexity of the task of addressing a wide range of different types of building, a wide range of occupants with different wealth and different needs, It's a hugely complex planning operation, as well as extremely expensive for governments if you're going to subsidize, or for the households if it's not subsidized. So this is not easy, even in a country like China, with its own systems and money that is thrown down from on high.
Well, Philip, you know, thank you so much for your time today. And of course, the discussion that builds on the messages from your paper, Managing the Social Consequences of the Transition Away from Coal, the Case of Clean Heating in Shaanxi Province, China, that was published by the OIS in September 2022. I hope you've all enjoyed listening to this podcast. Thank you and goodbye to everyone.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from the Oxford Institute for Energy Studies. You can find other podcasts, as well as our original research, on our website at www.oxfordenergy.org. If you would like more details about our energy transition, gas, oil, electricity, or China research programs, then please contact us at information@oxfordenergy.org.